to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Joe.
Hello and welcome to Shooting Defence on FNX, brought to you by My Sportswear, Youth Energy and Save Association. I'm your host, Del, and joining me on this Manchester United special, as always, is Rodri Giggs. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, buzzing at the moment. Can't sleep. 11 o'clock and we're talking about United. Obviously, the win has given us a bit of a buzz, I guess.
Yeah, two games, clean sheet, four goals. Happy days.
That's 8 goals in 2 games. I can't remember us doing that since, what, 99, even if that even before then?
Well, yeah, long, long time ago. But, you know, we won our first two games last season, didn't we? So let's not get too carried away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're obviously going to talk about the 4-0 win against Swansea today. What's your assessment of the game overall?
Yeah, it was a good performance. Anyway, any time you go away from home in the Premier League and keep a clean sheet and score 4 goals, it's a good performance. But, you know, it obviously wasn't a 4-0, but, you know, United can do that with the power and pace they've got. So in 6 minutes, was it, 3 goals? So, yeah, if people switch off and the game's getting stretched and there's a lot of space with the players United have got, they could do that to anyone. So,
yeah.
It shouldn't have been a 4-0, but, you know, we'll take it.
You see, that's the thing. We said that last week, or I said that last week about the West Ham game, in the sense that, you know, it wasn't as if we had clear-cut chances. I mean, I know Rashford hit the post last week and we had a few chances, but today was pretty much the same thing, in the sense that we only had that one chance. Rashford had that one-on-one where he poked it at the keeper. But then we had the chance, obviously, from the goal. And then in the second half, until the 80th minute when they made the changes, that's when we kind of exploded into life. Now, the thing is, watching the game and watching, obviously, a match today and remembering as much as I possibly can, it just seemed that Swansea's game plan was to kind of frustrate us. And it kind of, as I said, it worked for about 80 minutes. But before that, even the first half, our passing seemed a bit sloppy. The goal was well-deserved, obviously, and it winded Swansea. What did you make of Swansea's performance?
Well, yeah, they defended well. You know, it's always going to be whatever level you play at. If you get concede a goal on the 44th minute or the 45th minute just before you're going to go into half time, it's a blow. So you changed your team, so scored and scored against. So they did okay, but like I said, they're trying to get into the game. United have been sloppy in the game, but they grew into the game, and then they've worked Swansea, and then Swansea obviously stretched the last 10 minutes of the game. And, you know, like I said before, United could do that to anyone with the pace and the power they've got, and with the clinical finishing they've got, they can do that to anyone.
Yeah. And on the show a couple of weeks ago, you said that you fancy Swansea to be one of the teams to get relegated this season. Has there been anything that you've seen today that makes you believe that, you know, you're sticking to that, or you're going to change your mind?
Well, no, I think I'd probably put Brighton into that, but then I'd still get a goal scorer, especially when they've got rid of Sigurdsson now. So they still need someone to score the goals, even though they look compact and they looked a capable team today, and Paul Clement seems like a good manager. I still think they need the short and they need extra players, especially with Sigurdsson leaving.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember them playing a 3-5-2 last season. But as you said, Sigurdsson is going to be, obviously, he's a massive loss. The thing is, the one thing I can say about them today is that obviously Llorente wasn't playing. And they started two up front with Abraham and Ayew. And I don't think they've played together, have they? Unless they played on the first day of the season. But I don't think they've actually had any kind of consistency or time to build a relationship. So maybe that is one of the reasons why they didn't really give us that many problems up top. Because they're both physical and they're both quick as well, aren't they?
Well, they are, but, you know, it's a tough skill, Premier League, and they need to hit the ground running, because once they get behind and, you know, in the league and start drifting away, then it becomes difficult. But so, you know, even though they haven't played together, they need to work hard in training and build up that rapport with each other and start helping the team out and scoring goals, or they're definitely in trouble.
Mm. The thing is, I don't think it's any coincidence that the game changed when Mata and who else came off? I keep forgetting who came off. Well, Marcial and Fellaini came on, and they obviously changed the game. Why do you think the game opened up when those changes were made?
Well, a combination of both things, probably. United keeping the ball most of all the game and working Swansea hard. Them tiring a little bit. Obviously, them stretching and going for an equaliser. And, you know, these are quality players. You know, Fellaini's a £30 million player, even though, you know, people say he's not a United player. You know, under Mourinho, he's done really, really well. And Martial, every time he's coming in, he's looked power pace, you know, and he's got two goals. So, you know, even though they're subs, you know, these players are internationals, are coming on fresh. So, you know, it's a lot to deal with, Swansea.
That's right. Now, the thing is, as you know, I was quite critical of Mkhitaryan, and then he came up with two assists, so that made me look a bit like an idiot. But to be fair, mate, he was actually quite anonymous before Mata came off. It just seemed that playing in a more deeper role doesn't suit him, but when he's up, you know, up top playing with the three, he's more effective. What do you make of him?
Yeah, I think he is. He's a number 10, but you know, he can play on the right hand side. He can play on the left hand side, and he's got them capabilities to play in the middle as well. But yeah, for me, he is a number 10. He's dangerous. He can score goals. He can put the pass in behind like he did for Pogba. He can take people on and he can score goals. So yeah, for me, he would be number 10. But then, who played it with Mata there?
Mata played that number 10 role, and Mkhitaryan was kind of...
We've got a lot of 10s there. Mata's a really number 10, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. So I guess it's a little conundrum that Mourinho has, and it's a good problem to have because he's got options. I mean, obviously, Pereira is, as well, he's a number 10, isn't he? He's youngster, obviously. He's not going to get that many games in the Premier League anyway. But I just think that we've got loads of options at the moment, and obviously we're talking about bringing another player for the left-hand side. Martial comes on, and he did a job. He did a better job than Rashford, to be fair.
Well, yeah, he did, but Rashford did very well before, even though he should have stuck his chance away. You know, Rashford still had a really decent game, and, you know, Martial's come on and obviously got the goal, but, you know, Rashford did very well before he went off. But as going back to Mata and Mkhitaryan, they can interchange. They both can go to left or both go to number 10. These players are educated enough to be able to interchange with each other. So as long as they work well with each other and be in the right places and do interchange, then it makes it more difficult for the opposition.
Yeah. And let's talk about the defenders, Baye and Jones, because you and I have been very critical of Phil Jones for the past couple of years. I think they did pretty well, but as I said before, with that strike partnership, in the back of my mind, I was thinking they had their half chances. If it was a better front line, they would have put those chances away, wouldn't they?
With the better players, then.
There was that header that Abraham put over the bar. He was about, well, I think Matic was 5 yards away from him.
Well, you'd expect the better players to put them chances away, but, you know, obviously we get away with it today because it's Swansea and they're not that calibre of a player that you get at the top side. So, you know, if Phil Jones is the more capable one of him and Smalling, and if you put him against a capable centre-half, you can become a good partnership. It's just, for me, I've said it before, he's been in there 6 years now. He should be dominant. He should be, you know, chest out, not making mistakes, but he still, you know, it looks like he's got a mistake in or, you know, lacks a bit of concentration and falls asleep, where Smalling's just a nervous wreck. So, but Baye is a capable defender. Like I say, with a partnership, you know, he could bring Jones on and with Valencia and obviously Blind, who's an educated footballer, could help him on as well. So, and Mourinho is a tactician of defensive, his defensive mastermind. So that obviously must help as well.
I mean, that's something I was actually going to ask you with regards to Phil Jones. Is there a chance that, you know, he's actually performing better with playing alongside a defender that's more assured, like Bailly, rather than Smalling, who, as you said, is very, how should I put it, flaky at best.
Well, yeah, we've seen it down the years. If Palace to Bruce, Vidic and Ferdinand, you know, these players bring the best out of each other, and you know, bring a nice blend. Bailly and Jones, are they the same kind of defender? I think they're more like the same kind of defender. They go and attack balls. They go and win balls when they're there. So, what can you say? They've played two games and they've got clean sheets, so you can't criticise them too much.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And Ander Herrera came on with about 5 or 10 minutes ago. Do you think he's got a future at the club? Because I know it's easy for me to say, you know, he hasn't played in the first couple of games because Matic has been outstanding, but can you see him being more used as a squad player more than anything?
Well, no, you've got to understand that we're not playing Champions League football at the minute. So we're just playing 1 week a game. So, and I believe in the tougher sides, that he'll probably put him alongside Matic and play Pogba in front of him. So, no, he was one of the top players for us last year. He's a very, very... And Mourinho seemed to trust him. You know, I think he marked Messi out of the game in one of the games. Was it Messi or...?
It was Hazard, wasn't it, in the league game at home?
Yeah, was it Hazard? Sorry, yeah, Hazard. So, you know, he's a man that Mourinho trusts. So, no, I don't think he'll be going anywhere. And he'll be United for a long time to stay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know it's early days, but we're actually taking our chances and less wasteful in front of the goal than last season. It is looking promising, isn't it?
It is looking promising, but like I said, you know, let's not get carried away. We won our two games last season. We finished sixth, but it's a lot more impressive that the team is a lot more stronger. And Mourinho's been there a year. He's a year on, and. Yeah, the team are looking a lot more better. It's a lot more exciting football, even though it was frustrating at times. But no, the power and the pace, and just think the Matic and Lukaku is, and possibly one more player, and then we're good to go.
So what's the fundamental difference Lukaku has made, do you think? I mean, we know that Ibrahimovic was less mobile, but obviously he got it up here. What do you think Lukaku has done for the side in general?
He's more mobile. Just as simple as that. He's more mobile. You can stretch him going either way. If you're a defender and you're not worried about him getting in behind you, it's less one thing to worry about. He's not. Even if he gets a yard on him, I still can catch him. Where Lukaku, you can't give him a yard because he could possibly be away. And he's just a lot more exuberant, just a lot more. And the players around him. I've had a good pre-season with him, obviously know how he plays, and that'll only get better in time. So, but yeah, it's just the mobility, I think. Yeah. And he knows, he's not a striker that's coming in that blind, not knowing the system, or he knows the system. Mourinho's managed him before, so I think that would have helped as well.
Yeah. Do you know what? As much as I don't want to criticise Zlatan for last season, because he was absolutely phenomenal, it seemed that he needed 3 or 4 chances to get a goal, which obviously loads of strikers need that. But, and again, I'm not getting too far ahead of myself and getting overexcited, but Lukaku has had 2 clear-cut opportunities and he's buried them both. That could be the fundamental difference between coming sixth and possibly winning the league. I mean, we said it so many times last season. If United took their chances against the Hulls, against the West Broms, against all these other teams,
yeah,
1 point turns into 3. And by March, we could have been 2 points behind Chelsea. It's crazy how it pans out over the season, doesn't it?
It does, but, you know, Zlatan, what did he get last year? 20-odd goals?
Yeah, 28 in all competitions. Yeah. I think it was phenomenal.
It used to puzzle me when people said, when Andy Cole used to like take 6 chances, it's difficult to make them chances. Sometimes you make them chances for yourself. So these strikers all score goals and sometimes they'll miss chances as well. But it's when they're not getting the chances, that's when I worry, so... You know, Slatter's a top striker, so...
Yeah. The thing is, with Lukaku...
Sorry, go on, mate.
No, carry on.
No, go on. With Lukaku, go on.
And I just lost you. The connection lost a bit. What I was about to say about Lukaku is that the fact that my main concern was that perhaps the shirt would be too heavy for him. But he's just come in almost as if he's been playing at the club for three or four seasons.
Yeah, I was listening to Thierry Henry talk about him after the game, and he's obviously a student of the game. He does his homework, you know, and he's hungry and he wants to get better. And there's nowhere better place than Old Trafford for that for him. So, you know, it's there for him. It's looking, like I said before, it's looking exciting times. But, you know, let's not get carried away. He didn't score one goal against the top six sides last year. So, you know, he's got a lot to prove when we play them top six sides, because, you know, that'll no doubt know when, if we're going to be up there or not.
Absolutely, absolutely. And next week we've got Leicester City. How do you think that's going to go? I mean, I don't know if he's going to keep an unchanged side. We know that Leicester are going to go 4-4-1-1, which is what they normally do away from home, especially. They've got a good win today against Brighton. How do you think we'll do?
Well, Vardy come off injured, didn't he?
Oh, did he? Hopefully,
I think he come off last 10 minutes injured. So we'll see how that pans out. But if without him, even with him, you know, I still expect teams like Leicester with the confidence we've got with these two last results, that we should have blown these teams away at Old Trafford. Blown them away.
Fair point. I mean, we did that last season against them, didn't we? We gave them a 4-0 hiding, and I think that was one of Ranieri's final games. I just think that they've spent wisely this summer of Leicester. And Iheanacho could be one of the signings of the season, I think. With £25 million, I don't know what City are doing letting him go. But yeah, he's a dangerous player. And as you said, we know about Leicester. We know what they're going to do. I'm trying to see if there's any information on Jamie Vardy. If there's any news about him. I can't find anything at the moment. But if he's out of that game, that's a big loss for them, because his pace can really hurt us.
Yeah, he can. He looks like he's up for it this season as well. He looks like back to his best. So I like the centre-half that they brought in from Hull as well. I think he's a capable defender as well.
That's right.
To go against Morgan.
That's right. Well,
or Hoof or whoever they play. Pardon?
It just seems like they've got something to prove this season. I think a lot of people got on their backs, and rightly so, last season, because of the way that they performed under Ranieri. And it's almost as if a lot of people were saying that they kind of stabbed them in the back. So I think this season, they're doing it obviously for themselves, but also to prove to their fans that one season of winning the league shouldn't be, you know, the season that kind of proves to be like a detriment to their future, if that makes sense.
No, I still think they'll be in a top 10 side. But like I said before, when these teams come to Old Trafford with the points that we've got and the two results we've got behind us, we should be blowing these teams away.
Fair enough. And on a final note, who do you think was our man of the match today?
It's a difficult one, that. Pogba or Bailly? I'll go Pogba.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Well, I'm going to go Matic, because he's just been phenomenal the past couple of games.
Matic for me last week was, but no, Pogba with his offensive play, you know, two goals in two games. So I'll give it him to this week.
Great stuff. Great stuff. So we're finally seeing the Pogba that we paid 89 million quid for.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it takes a year. And, you know, like I say, he's got better players around him now. He's got Matic that he knows that he can trust, that he's behind him and he can get on more than he did last year. So, you know, it's looking good. And, you know, that price tag's a snip now for Neymar.
Exactly. There you go. Hindsight, eh? Hindsight. Well, Rod,
even Coutinho as well.
Yeah, 100 million quid. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I was looking at the stats because obviously Everton fans, Liverpool fans down here, and they had Signeton's stats from last year, which was like 20 odd goals and like 10, 11 assists. And they had like Coutinho's with like 10 goals and like 5 assists. And the money was like, it's just, he's not an 112 million, 115 million pound player, is he?
No, but do you know what? I not as a player, but maybe commercially, that what he could be worth for Barcelona in the long term. I think that's what happens these days with fees. I mean, Sigurdsson probably isn't as marketable. I think, you know, Coutinho plays for Brazil. You know, he plays alongside Neymar. There's going to be a big hoo-ha about the move as well. I mean, they signed Paulinho, and that went down like a fart in church, didn't it? He couldn't even do four kick-ups in the...
seen it, yeah.
Obviously, the guys are hiding to nothing from now. You know, hasn't even kicked the ball for him. But I don't know. I think that if Liverpool turn down that fee, they're just as stupid as the people that are trying to buy him for that fee, to be fair, because... Yeah. Let's be 100% honest. If he doesn't want to play, he won't play. And come January, that fee might go down to 80 million or 60 million. You just never know. But then again, it depends on how desperate Barcelona are to buy a player. What if they turn their attention to Eriksen? The damage has been done now because Coutinho is saying, I don't want to play for you. So it's one of those things. Well, fortunately, we don't have those issues.
You'd think they want to get him out the door now, especially when he's made so much noise, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's the same with Van Dijk as well. Another player that wants out, he's refusing to play, and just get rid of him. If they don't want to play, get rid of him. And
Johnny Evans is doing that as well.
Well, there you go. To be fair, we're lucky that we haven't had that this season. Like, I think the only person that was really in any danger of leaving was De Gea, and that obviously isn't going to happen now. It doesn't look like it anyway. So, yeah, let's see.
I've been winding the City friends up with Johnny Evans.
Do you know what?
Oh.
What is it about him? Because I've had discussions with people, like Arsenal fans especially, who've been saying, oh, you know, why haven't we gone in for him and this and that? But on the flip side, they're like, well, think of the money that they're spending on him. Like, well, we've got to bear in mind is that he's won the Premier League. He knows what it's like to play for a big club. Not that I'm saying that Man City are a big club. They're a massive club, aren't they? but he knows what it's like. He's got the minerals. He's got what it takes. He's got the experience. And how many defenders have got his experience? Forget the fact that he's Johnny Evans. And forget the fact that he plays for West Brom. How many defenders have got his experience available for £28 million? I don't know.
No, I agree with what you just said there. But for me, he wasn't any... He was okay at United, but no, he wasn't good for Manchester United. So, why should he be good enough for Arsenal?
Well, yeah, I just think that they're signing him for the homegrown quota. I can't see him being a regular. The only other thing is, like I said, maybe because he can play a left back. But then again, in that system that Guardiola plays,
he's a centre half. He's experienced now, so he may get better and cut the mistakes out and be a better player, but. You know, he always seems to have a mistake in him or...
Brain lapse.
Lapse, concentration, yeah.
Well,
but, you know, going back to Liverpool, if they get rid of him, they've always got Henderson.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Oh, poor Jordan Henderson, he always gets it from both barrels, doesn't he? Poor guy.
That's what happens when you're a kid and you're doing kick-ups with United top on and you didn't play for Liverpool. Pictures come back to haunt you, don't they?
Like Gerrard and the Everton shirt, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We've turned it into a everyone that but United bashing, hasn't it? Who's going to start on next week? Brighton? Oh, sorry for great. Well, mate, listen, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. We'd like to tell everyone your Twitter handle and then I can bombard you with stuff.
Rod.
Bombard me.
Yes, it's Rod James Giggs.
Excellent, wonderful. You can give us a follow at Shoot the Defence. We also have a Facebook group page. Join in. There's a lot of, how they call it, jokes and banter. I hate that word. Right, until next week.
Are you... Sorry, go on.
No, Karen, am I?
Go on, sorry.
No, you said, am I?
Oh, we're gone. Sorry, go on.
Okay, I'm going to stop broadcast now.